Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast that you can't put down. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. We'll find out their secret recipe for creating a book. We'll tell you where they get their ideas, and you will get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Well, we'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? Okay, let's meet the author. Joining me today is Robert Oliver Brown, and we're doing part two of our interview with Robert for his book, The Sleeping Ute. Robert, welcome.
Thank you, Suzette. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back because this is such an interesting book. Let's start out by giving our listeners a little bit more information about the book itself. Let's talk about the characters, because you have some characters that are very important. Tell me who your fictional characters are in the book.
Okay, I create a Ute holy man. I use him, his name is Jake, to introduce a lot of these spiritual thoughts that I want to present to the reader in advising me as we go along. I use some of the security people in the book, like on the police department, the security here, from Indian fellows that I grew up with. Pinky and a few other ones, and I use the board of directors. There's a couple men on the board of directors, Truman, who are also Indian people I grew up with, who has served in that capacity. But I would say my main character is Jake. And then I also use a big fellow who causes a little of the trouble in the book. His name is Jim Goodyear, and Jim is a gentleman I met when I was on the police department in Wichita, Kansas, and he was really an interesting gentleman to know once I got to know him.
I'm also curious about your connection and choice of setting the book on the Ute Reservation in Colorado. Is there a connection that you have with that Ute Reservation? I thought that was just a very interesting choice.
Well, I've been on the reservation three or four times. My brother lives in Cortez, Colorado, and a lot of the spiritual insights I try to give the reader comes from the Indian religion that my grandmother taught me when I was growing up, or exposed me to. And it just seemed like the Indian reservation seemed like a good place to tell some of my stories.
Is there a real sleeping Ute?
Yes, ma'am. If you go to Colorado, Cortez is in the southwest corner, and the sleeping Ute in the reservation is about 12 miles south of Cortez, Colorado. It's a range of mountains which depicts a Indian warrior lying down on his back. You can make out the feather in his head, and his arms are folded over his chest, and the end of the mountain range appears to be 2 feet sticking up in the air. It looks like an Indian warrior lying down on his back. So they call that range of mountains a sleeping Ute range.
How cool. I wondered if there was a real mountain range called that. Thank you for telling me that. The cover of the book is interesting. When I looked at it, I noticed immediately that there are three faces, and they look in three different directions. Is there significance to those three faces on the cover?
Yes, it's funny you should ask, Suzette. The second face, the one that's turned sideways, it connotates me taking on a little different resemblance after some of these spiritual outings I go on with this Ute holy man named Jake. I get just a little more spiritual in my thinking, and so I depict that on the front of the cover as growing a little in my understanding. So it's turned sideways. Now, the third face is not only turned sideways, it's much lighter. Now, because at the end of the book, which the last two chapters I have a lot of spiritual metaphysics in it, and it's mostly in the spirit realm, and so that's why it's much lighter. But I don't want to say too much more about the third face, because the last two chapters of my book are probably the most exciting, and there's a big surprise awaiting the reader in the last two chapters.
We don't want to give away the good stuff. That's exactly right, Robert. Let's talk a little bit more about Jake. He plays such a huge role in your book. Is he based on a real person? Is he based on you? Tell me a little bit more about the character of Jake. Where did he come from?
Well, he's just a spirit. He's just a fictional person which I create in my book. I expound on some of my metaphysics by using Jake to explain to me some of his insights for the reader. I give Jake earned two degrees at a nearby college, Durango, which is about 50 miles from Cortez, one degree in religion and one in history. And he's just quite a fictional character, and yes, he is one of the most important characters in the book, Suzette.
I just think he's so powerful. I thought that perhaps there was a person or group of people that inspired him. He just seems so real.
Well, thank you. I've done my job if he seems real to you. Growing up in the area of Wichita I grew up in, there was an older gentleman that I used to visit with once in a while. Of course, I was a child at the time, and I've never forgot him to this day. That it just kind of put me in mind of this Jake that I created in my book.
I thought there must have been somebody that inspired you. Let's talk a little bit about you and something that happened to you that seems to me must have been a seminal event in your life. You were a police officer, and you were on duty, and you had a horrendous accident that put you in a coma, and you had a miraculous recovery. Do you think that accident and that miraculous recovery changed you in any way?
Oh, yes, it changed me because it changed my understanding of God. and I used some of Jake's quotations and illustrations that he cites to me on what I call the little spiritual outings we used to go on to get this. I found after the accident, I knew something had to bring me through it, some higher power, and I found out in studying the Bible more, I found out God to be spirit, and he had always been ever-present in my life and was still ever-present. The Bible refers to his ever-presence as Emmanuel, or God with us. And I reasoned, if God is ever-present, and that ever-presence is good and fills all space, then there is no place for evil or anything unlike God to exist. And if I could just become conscious, Suzanne, for just a few seconds of that truth, and we're told this in the Bible, that truth could move a mountain. These feelings and acknowledgments was allowing me to feel more and more oneness with God. And that's what I try to explain to the reader. On page 79, third paragraph, Jake tells me in my book that the good that I do and have within myself gives me the only power I will ever possess. And on this particular outing we were on, which was Jake's favorite place to go, and as you look at this range where we were at from a distance, it looks like the part where the warrior's arms are folded over his chest. Jake told me that what we had to do is to advance our spiritual understandings of ourself and our fellow man until we replace all hate with love, all sorrow with joy, and all sickness with health, all sinful ways with spiritual understanding and righteousness, and of course death will be the last and final enemy to overcome. And Jake concluded this little outing by telling me that the two most important events in my life is, of course, one being the day I was born, and the next, the day I discover why I was born.
You know, something that strikes me, Robert, is that your outings with Jake are almost like spirit quests. Would you say that's a fair comparison?
Yeah, I wished I'd thought of that. That's good.
Thank you. Because I find, you know, I don't know a lot about the Native American spiritualism and religion, but I do know how much they valued nature and how much they looked to nature for their religion. And I remember the idea of spirit quests and how they would go deep into their own psychological places in their brain and discover things and truths about themselves and about the world. And it seems like that's one of the messages that you're putting forth in The Sleeping Ute. Am I on target or off target?
Well, you're right on target. That's why I use Jake so much, Suzanne. One other little place on page 146, fourth paragraph, Jake tells me, and I'll tell the reader, not to worry about understanding all of what he was telling me now. that eventually, as long as I stayed connected, and of course we stay connected by seeing and treating our fellow man as we would like to be saw and treated ourselves. Of course, we get in trouble when we get disconnected, and you get disconnected when you start being unconcerned about your fellow man. So our main goal in life should be is to try to stay connected with God first, and then our fellow man, and this will all unfold in our consciousness.
And that's so important right now as we all go through this coronavirus and the whole, I mean, it's just been so difficult for so many people. So many people have lost their jobs and lost their way to make a living, and it's just impacted lives in ways that we could not possibly imagine. And so I think that your ideas in the book, especially the religious themes that you have in the book, are extremely important right now.
Thank you, Suzanne. I do too. Let me remind you of another thing here. I remember, you know, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul saw the importance of understanding one's true selfhood when he said what we had to do was put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. And I think if we can just gain a better knowledge of our true selfhood and our relationship to God, that will help us overcome a lot of our fear about this, about the coronavirus. Because really the only thing we can catch is love in God's universe. There's nothing like that coronavirus that can exist in a universe of love and health and happiness.
Well, I know that we have piqued the attention of our listeners, and I know that they're curious about where they can find the book. I looked on Amazon. All they have to do is go to Amazon and put in the name of the book, The Sleeping Ute by Robert Oliver Brown. There's a search feature at the very, very top of their website. Click on that, and it takes you right to the page where the book is. And there's a representation of the cover on the left side of the page, and right in the right-hand corner of that representation, it says, click here. And so if you click there, it opens the book, and it opens the Kindle version for you, and you're able to read the Kindle version. Now, I know it's available both in a Kindle version, which is an electronic version, and a paperback version. They're both available right there on that Amazon website. Is there anywhere else that they could find it?
No. I have a few copies, of course, but not enough. It's just, and this is a relatively new cover. My daughter Tracy Cox, she went through the whole thing and come up with a little different cover, which is outstanding cover, and she done an outstanding job helping me.
I'm so glad you gave Tracy credit. She really did a wonderful job. I know she went back and retyped the whole thing for you, re-entered the whole thing.
Oh, so we have really never done it.
We have a new edition, really, of The Sleeping Ute, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I want to share a quote that you use at the very beginning of the book because I just thought it was so beautiful. O Great Spirit, I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. I thought that was absolutely a beautiful quote. Where did that come from, Robert?
Thank you. I don't know. That's something I read, and it's an unknown author. I would have quoted the author if there had been an author, but it's something I read and I've had with me a long time, a number of years. I've just always remembered it and said it over and over, because that's all we have to do, because what we really see in others is just going to be a reflected image of ourselves. And so if we can just overcome, you know, the any deceitful lust or any unrighteous thoughts about anybody, then we're seeing the true man.
Well, you have been so insightful and as delightful as always to talk with. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Books on Air.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
And don't forget, you can find The Sleeping Ute by Robert Oliver Brown on Amazon. You've been listening to Books on Air, the podcast that's brought to you on webtalkradio.net. You can also hear our podcasts on iTunes as well as iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope that you'll join our next Books on Air podcast. Remember, it's the place to be. Thanks so much for listening.